In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, our gospel reading, Matthew, the 14th chapter. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, here is the context. Jesus has just been chased out of the synagogue. Citizens are seeking to throw him off a cliff. His own people from his hometown, they wanted to kill him. And if that's not bad enough, he had just gotten word that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been beheaded by King Herod, and the disciples, his disciples, had buried his lifeless, headless body. No wonder our text for today begins by saying when Jesus heard this, what had happened, he withdrew in a boat to a desolate place. Who wouldn't want to do that? As a man, no doubt Jesus is exhausted. No doubt Jesus is sorrowful. But I will tell you this. The crowds absolutely will not leave him alone. They want rest for their souls. They hunger and thirst for that righteousness. They find it too hard to live in a world filled by sin, suffering, pain, illness, disease, and death. And Jesus, he will not turn them away. He will have mercy on them. More and more who suffer, more and more who mourn, more and more who are afflicted with guilt and various diseases are brought to Jesus, and one by one, he has mercy and he has compassion on each and every person gathered in that place. That's what happens when he gets out of that boat and sees these people standing on a shore. He begins to heal and have mercy on them. Having then labored all day preaching and healing, the hour has grown late. The night is nearly at hand. The day has been long. The disciples, they just want a little space for themselves. They want a little getaway, a little rest, a little relaxation away from everything and everyone. They are tired. We've all been there. It's so easy to sympathize with the 12 when all you want to do is to lie down in peace and catch your breath. As a parent, still your children come to you. Still they have problems, food and care and something to solve. Still they need love. You can't get away. As a husband, as a wife, you have so committed to yourselves to one another in Jesus Christ that at all times and in all places you are to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And a husband, having loved his wife, wives are to, as the church does, submit to her husband in the name of our Lord. No times, all places, no rest. Children, you know how it feels to struggle with a request, a command from your parents to go and to do something, and not wanting to do it, but your Lord has commanded it through your mother and your father. And you must honor them. You farmers know what it is like to endlessly tire, to endlessly labor, to provide food for your family and for the country, whether it be in the field or ranching. You know how it is when you finish repairing one combine, the truck breaks down, and when you spray one field, another next to it seems to be growing weeds. And when all the cattle seem to be safe and sound, there's another fence that has broken, and another fence that needs to be repaired, and more animals to chase. As it is for farmers, so it is for any other profession, even in our own homes. There's always one more thing to be done, one more item to add to a list. And even though we are tired, Jesus demands of his disciples not to send the people away. They need not go away, Jesus says. We need not take the rest that you desire. You give them something to eat. Can you sort of see the blank stares and the flabbergasted expression of the disciples as Jesus tells them to give something to eat? Us? We have 5 loaves and 2 fish? We can't even feed ourselves. And you want us to feed all of these people gathered, 5,000 men plus women and children? We might wonder the same thing today. You want us to do something in the midst of so many lost jobs, so many health issues, our own household debts, a time of pandemic? I'm doing all I can just to survive, just to hang on. How do you expect me to love other people and to provide for them when I can barely do that for myself and for my family? Lord, we have so little time, we have so little money, we have so little health. What do we even have to offer anybody? And Jesus' answer is pretty clear. You are right. You have really nothing to offer them, do you? Your time is not enough. Your loaves and fish are not enough. Your meetings are not enough. Your Sunday morning attendance is not enough. In fact, it is not within your power to do anything that is really needed. That's what our Lord wants his disciples to learn that very day, and the people to learn that very hour. We are in no position to feed anyone, to help anyone. We can't even feed ourselves unless the Father of mercies opens his hands and provides for us rain, food, house, home, clothing, job, land, animals, devout children, devout wife. All of these are nothing more than gifts to our God and gifts from our God. We can't acquire any of these on our own. So when Jesus tells his disciples to give them something to eat, you know what they do? They wrongly look at every other avenue but whether their Lord is directing their attention. The disciples look to the food. Oh, you don't have enough. They look out at all these people. They're too many. They look again in their pockets in the Gospel of Luke. A day's wages, a year's wages, wouldn't be enough to buy food for all these people. They look at all that they have and all they are that they are, and they come up empty-handed. Do you know the one thing they never do? They never look to the one who satisfies, the one who is all-sufficient and has no problem feeding 5,000 men plus women and children with 12 baskets of leftovers, one for each disciple. Now imagine, if you will, if the disciples had actually attempted to feed those 5,000 people. Do you think it would have gotten past the first family who went to eat that day? All of that is to say this, dear saints. Our weak attempts at feeding people, even ourselves, does not satisfy. We fare no better than the disciples that very day. And people come to Jesus for all kinds of reasons, don't they? People come to church for all kinds of reasons. Some, as you listen to the word of God preached in this country, some come so that they have their best life now. All the prosperity, all the wealth, so the things that go well for them in this country and in their own life. Some come for good feelings. Others want to be entertained. Some come for a mere self-help class. Give me 12 steps to a better marriage or a more well-adjusted children or grandchildren. Some want their own sins and their own thoughts justified, their ego stroked as the pastor itches their itching ears rather than binding up their broken hearts. But I will tell you this. None of these are what Jesus is about, and none of these are what his church is about. How pathetic the disciples and we who cling to our own selfish pride and vanity and abilities that we think we can provide for ourselves and for one another. Look at who we are, look at what we've done, and look at what we have accomplished in our life. How foolish they look when our Lord says to them, "You give them something to eat." before the disciples can even ask, before they even know what to pray for, our Lord opens his mouth and he says to them, "Bring these to me." And taking them in his hands, looking up to heaven, he blesses them and he gives them to the weak, frail, doubting disciples. Get that. God actually entrusts his gift to weak, frail, failing men, that he may go and serve those gifts to weak, failing, feeble men. He uses the failing, weak, pathetic disciples to provide for his needy people. What happened then, dear saints, happens now, even today. It is Christ who feeds you, who are weak and failing and pathetic and in need. But how does he do it, I ask? How does Christ feed you with himself? Is it not through the hands of a weak, pathetic, sinful pastor? Is it not through my hands and my mouth that the Lord speaks his glorious, mighty word in order to save sinners, of which I am foremost? Oh, the depths, the riches, the wisdom, and knowledge of God to know exactly what even the disciples and those people gathered together there that day need. They need not go away. They need be with Jesus. They need to receive from Jesus all that he gives and all that he has, both to sustain this body and this life. And Jesus is sufficient for them, even though the disciples are not. So what do you have to give to the world in the midst of job loss, in the midst of health issues, in the midst of household death, in the midst of a pandemic? What do you actually have to give this world that they can't get elsewhere out there in the world? You have. The church, pastor, and people has what we have always had, what we ever lived by: Jesus Christ and him crucified. We have the one thing needful that you cannot get out there in the world, that your own meager work, your inconsistent service, and your lackluster accomplishments could never bring. Do not look to these. Fix your eyes. Fix the eyes of every person under your care, family and friends, to he who is all sufficient for you, who feeds you not only with your daily bread, who gives you not only house, home, clothes, land, animals, all that you need to support your body, but if that were too little, who gave you the bread of life, his very body and blood given and shed there on the cross for you in holy love, who feeds you and nourishes you day by day with his own body and blood here each and every week, and receiving Jesus, receiving the bread of life, you may depart in his peace, knowing that your sins are forgiven, that he is with you always, and that you have life in his name. Do you doubt that in a world fraught with sin, in a time of pandemic? Then come and taste and see, as Isaiah says, taste and see that the Lord is good, that he is the one who satisfies the hungry things and fills those who are hungry with good things. Jesus says, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. So come, you who are thirsty, come to the waters of life, come to the well of salvation, who is Jesus Christ. You who have nothing in your hand to bring, you who have no money, you who have no status, no opportunity to pride yourself before others or to boast in anything, you who cannot boast in anything that you do because you and I are poor, miserable sinners, come and stand firmly and boast in our God. He has clothed you in a robe of Christ's righteousness that covers all your sin. He has bought you with his own blood. So come and drink and buy wine and milk without price, without money. Listen diligently to me, says the Lord. Eat what is good and delight yourselves not in the perishable food of this world, but in the imperishable bread and the living water that in eating and drinking becomes for you your sustenance, life, and salvation. Listen, eat, drink, live in Jesus Christ alone. Amen.